Long before the church had pulpits and play spaces, she had dinner tables and kitchens. Every meal mattered, and Jesus pointed the way. Everyone was welcome when Jesus sat at a table. From VIPs to traders, from religious leaders to shame-filled sinners, from those in the margins to those at the top, he ate with them all. And every meal became a peek into his new ways of living and new ways of loving. After all, why did Jesus come? He came to serve, to give his life, and to seek and save the lost. And how did he come? He came eating and drinking. What we learn at the table with Jesus is what we need for our tables today.
Hey, welcome to Calvary. I'm Jonathan Weibel. Growing up, as far back as I can remember, we had dinner around the table. 6 p.m. sharp, no exceptions. That was a pretty tall order as my dad ran a pharmacy and my mom worked full-time and they chased five boys running in different directions around. My parents had a large dinner bell that they would ring and it could be heard anywhere in our neighborhood. Dinner at the Weibel's house looked a little less like Norman Rockwell and more like the Lord of the Flies. Around the table, when it came to food, it was every man for himself. We resource guarded our food like we were Gollum with the ring. We got our schedules for the week together around that table. We shared stories around that table about our day, and we told cringeworthy jokes known today as dad jokes. It's where mom and dad raised us. How I wish I had that table now. The birth of the church happened in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and then Peter preaches and 3,000 believe and are baptized. Then the church really began to grow, and it grew up around the dinner table. This was the sacred space of the early church. Acts 2, 46-48 says this. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The first century church practiced the spiritual discipline of breaking bread and eating together. It's what we refer to today as fellowship. It all happened right around those tables in those early Jesus followers' homes. I just want to ask a simple question to you. Are we still meeting around our tables? Or are we missing out on the secret weapon of the church, the table, the sacred space? So what are these sacred spaces, aka dinner tables, what are they for? The table provides a sacred space to laugh. Around the table, we're unplugged from work, life, devices especially, and we enjoy the fellowship of the table and good food. But we also enjoy conversation and laughter. And I think laughter is woefully underrated in the church. There are many scriptures on laughter and joy, but take a look at just a few of these. Job 8:21. He will once again fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Psalm 126:2, we were filled with laughter and we sang for joy, and the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. And then Proverbs 31:25, she is clothed with strength and dignity and she laughs without fear of the future. I love that. Laughter is good medicine and is proven to lessen anxiety, to improve your mood, and most importantly, bond you with others. That's vital because the gospel moves at the speed of relationship. I live by the principle, if you aren't having fun, you are not doing it correctly. One of the things that we do when we have neighbors over, or anybody really over for dinner around our table, is we ask them to crawl underneath our table. I know this sounds weird. Crawl underneath our table, get on their backs. We hand them a Sharpie, and they autograph the bottom of our table. Here's what our table looks like. Here's what the underneath of our table looks like. Sometimes they write something funny, or they enjoyed the food, or that lasagna was awful. Sometimes they just, you know, they make a little picture. They draw a little picture. And once a year, Susie and I flip that table over, and we read all the names, and we usually get a chuckle from some of the things that people have said. One of the fun things that we do for our neighbors and for our friends when they have dinner with us. The table, secondly, provides a sacred space to share. Our table has always been a place for believers, unbelievers, and neighbors to be real, to let their guards down, to look across the table into someone's eye and share our dreams and share our disappointments, share our fears and our failures. The table is the place to share our lives with one another and to be transparent and vulnerable. We get to know and trust one another over a meal. Whether or not it is folks from Calvary or our neighbors, when we don't know them, we will often connect the dots to them in the most maniacal ways, the worst possible ways. Connecting dots gets less maniacal when we gather around the table. The more we eat together, the more we eat together around that sacred space, the more we know and trust one another. The table is not just to share our lives, but to share Jesus with one another. I love what N.T. Wright had to say about the Last Supper. When Jesus himself wanted to explain to his disciples what his forthcoming death was all about, he didn't give them a theory, he gave them a meal. Jesus laid out his plan for salvation. The most important thing ever said was laid out around that Last Supper table. He used the bread, he used the wine as an example of the gospel, and he even told us that every time we ate and drank, we were to remember the sacrifice of his cross. The dining room table is a sacred space because it's a reminder of Jesus' sacrifice. It's also where we can really sit down and talk about Christ and his word. It's a place where we slow down and talk about the things that matter most in our life. The table provides a sacred space to pray. It's a sacred space to gather and seek the Lord together. Not just a quick, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food, amen. The table is a sacred space to seek God for the welfare of our city, with our family, and with others. To pray with our family for our neighbors and our hashtag. And when we have neighbors over for dinner, we typically ask if we can pray for them. Whether they are believers or not, they do not usually refuse prayer. Remember, prayer is not the pre-work of your front yard mission. Prayer is the work of your front yard mission. And finally, the table provides a sacred space to encourage one another. I want to take a moment and just repent, because although we've had lots of neighbors around our table, we have not had lots of you around our table. We've neglected in the last few years to have our brothers and sisters that love Jesus sitting at our dining room table. In turn, we've not been invited to many tables. If I could change anything about our culture at Calvary, it would be that we would invite the church to our table. Why? Because we need one another. Why? Because the first century church grew the greatest movement of all time that way. Here's the truth. I need you, and believe it or not, you need me to live out the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, our front yard mission. One of my favorite passages is Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. When we think of the church or assembling together, we often think of Sunday mornings and meeting in a building with large groups of people. Let me bring you back to Acts 2, 46 through 47. They met daily in the temple and in homes, breaking bread. My guess is that it was their homes and around their table eating together where they met the most consistently. What did they do around those tables? Well, they taught one another. They prayed with one another. And they encouraged one another. To encourage means to breathe fire into somebody else, to breathe courage into others around the table. Think about what was happening in that early church. They were being persecuted. They were being tortured. They were being martyred for their faith. Encouragement was essential. It was not the sole reason they met, but it was one of the primary reasons they met. They needed that encouragement to thrive under persecution. Maybe we aren't exactly being persecuted today, and maybe we aren't in imminent danger for our lives, but zero persecution is even more dangerous to the believers and to the church. Often, Satan's schemes are to let us quietly drift in still waters, never knowing persecution and never knowing how far we have really drifted from Christ. Before my father died, he wrote his testimony out to be shared at the funeral. And this paragraph I could not shake. He says this, "I was living in the spirit of the age, looking for comfort and ease, social customs and habits, material attitudes in business and in entertainment. The life of drift is pathetically easy course to follow. It takes no output of energy to float down a stream or to be carried forward to the crest of the running tide. The gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction." Without one another's encouragement, and even sometimes admonishment and rebuke, we will drift. That's the nature of us, is that we're drifters. The line that crushes me the most in the song, "Come Thou Fount," is, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." You probably identify with that too when you sing that famous hymn. Without one another, I can almost guarantee you we're going to wander. We will drift. Let me tell you what I need most. Just me. This is just Jonathan. I need you to sit across the table from me and to breathe fire into my life. I need you to tell me that you believe in the gifts that God has given to me. I need you to encourage me to live out the thing that Jesus said mattered most, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. My guess is you need that as well. Before we close, I want to take just a few minutes for you to watch a video that Susie and I saw several years ago. It was one of the catalysts that put us on a different ministry trajectory, Front Yard Mission. Check it out. know, something special happens around the table. After we saw that video, Susie said to me, "Hey, Jonathan, we could do that in our driveway." Whatever my wife says, I always do. It birthed something in our neighborhood that has continued. Here's a picture of that first dinner in the driveway that we did. People still talk about that, and we get together about once a month around the table with our neighbors. We do donuts in the driveway, we do uni pizzas, but we also just do dinners with our neighbors. And it's simple. Something special happens when we get around the table. Here's my application for you. Really simple. Invite a neighbor over for dinner. Maybe it's someone you've been praying for. Maybe somebody on your hashtag. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just somebody you're knocking into a lot in your neighborhood. That's the first thing. But here's the second thing, and maybe more important. Invite someone from your faith community, from your church, right now, because let's face it, the more time elapses, the more you won't. The more you won't invite. So act right now. Do it now. Invite somebody from Calvary to sit around your table. And just simply breathe courage into them. Just encourage them. Pray for them. Love on them. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Let's pray. Father, I trust you that the word would go out and not return void. I trust you that there are people listening, watching, that will go and do this. They would invite a neighbor or they invite somebody from their church over to sit around the table, to look at each other in the eyes and encourage one another and breathe fire into their bones. Lord, the early church, this was the secret sauce of it. This was the sacred space, the table. God, I pray that as a church, as Calvary, we would take that seriously, that we would grow the church around the table. Holy Spirit, breathe life into this message and into this spiritual discipline. In your name I pray. Amen.